I love this song, by the way. I didn't start by welcome back. Welcome back, Cotter. No, welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment. Because this song, that was the movie. What were they called?
The Runaways.
Yeah, I love that movie.
That is the band. Well, Dakota Fanning and, of course,
Kristen Stewart.
Oh.
I thought
Joan
she did
Jett.
Pretty. What? I thought
Joan
she did.
Jett.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought she did pretty good in that movie, actually, as an actress.
I did not care for the movie, but they were. It was good performances.
This was a good song. Michael and this Shannon is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, right?
No, this is the Runaways.
Oh, the Runaways.
Yeah,
yeah.
Joan Jett is in the band.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Because I was going to say, I recognize her voice.
And the song is Cherry Bomb. It's from Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's very good. They had some other hits, too, and I can't remember what they were right now. Some actually very, very good hits. And let's see. We didn't introduce ourselves. Joseph J., who are you?
I am Joseph J.
Yes, you are.
Erdo.
Film
Erdo.
Columnist. Not communist, columnist.
No.
And great producer of the show. Phenomenal. Always does a great job, no question. Greg Isaac in studio. Tricia, Eric Reinert. I'm Dave Isaac. Good day. Oh, no, we're still going. Okay, so what do we got now?
Oh, well, we got a couple other movies. Of course, we gave three thumbs up to on for Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Dave gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
I gave it a thumb up. And Tricia gave it a thumbs up, too.
And a paw up for my rocket.
Oh, okay.
He's so
I get it
cute.
Now.
He's so cute.
Raccoon rocket.
Yeah, oh,
I gave two thumbs and two toes up
well,
to one of the great films of our time,
Sharknado
2, with the great Ian Ziering.
Well, we know that sharks don't have thumbs, but do raccoons
in this movie
have thumbs?
They did.
He said it was totally fantastic. But yes, it looked like he had a thumb.
Oh, okay.
I think he did. He had a gun.
Yeah, I think he shot it with his
thumb. I'm looking at a picture. He's got thumbs.
Yeah, he's got thumbs.
Oh, okay. I think so.
All right. Well,
yeah, baby.
Very good. Well, I know someone else who has thumbs is Selena Gomez. She's got two of them. She's got a lot of other interesting features as well.
More thumbs than acting ability.
In Behaving Badly, this is a new movie that just opened. I believe it's exclusively, I think it's on video on demand, but it's also exclusively here in the Valley at AMC Ahwatukee. Nat Wolff plays a socially awkward high schooler in this film who is willing to do whatever it takes to win the heart of the girl of his dreams, the most beautiful and popular girl at school, played by Selena Gomez. And that's basically the official synopsis of the film, but you know, it's a raunchy comedy. He really does absolutely anything to get this girl. Dave, what did you think of the trailer?
I saw the movie.
Oh, you saw the whole movie.
I actually saw it. I think it was a goofy, funny, witty film lacking a strong plot. A series of scenes and skits about a high school boy entering a certain phase in his life that is somewhat exaggerated about sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah. So is that a thumbs up?
I give it a thumbs up because I thought it was funny. Some of the lines were extremely witty and very well timed, and I give it a thumbs up. Not much of a plot, but I thought the lead actor, I forgot his name, but
Nat Wolff.
I thought he did a nice job, and it was funny enough to give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, he's kind of breaks the fourth wall oftentimes.
When you look at the camera, yeah.
Yeah, he does that a lot in the movie when you know because they do have a lot of those witty lines, and he kind of like looks at the. At the camera and like, is this really happening? Or, you know, what do you guys think about this? What do you think about Selena Gomez?
Well, she was, cute, but I mean, I don't think her performance was anything that stood out at all.
Well,
I think she was just sort of there as a cutie pie and basically that's it.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying in my review. It's, her performance is very indifferent.
Yeah.
It resembles someone reciting lines for a rehearsal of a high school play. In other words, she just really didn't
Wasn't
care.
There.
Yeah. Didn't care. She's like, okay, I am the name in this movie, which there's a lot of bigger actors in this movie, to be fair. And I'll tell you some of their names in a second, but you know, she's kind of the name that they're billing the movie for. She is cute. But I think her cheeks are getting a little bit large, like a chipmunk's, and I don't know.
She's
maybe
storing her nuts in there.
Possibly. Yeah. And
they're blooming with Orlando's.
Okay. Her boyfriend's in the movie too. Did you see that?
Her boyfriend?
Yeah.
Which one?
Current.
Who's that?
Well, one of them.
Which one?
The Biebs.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And no, they're done.
I didn't
yeah.
know.
You know what I was curious about was whether this was where art imitates life, because, you know, she was supposed to be this really cute goody two shoes, and he started out that way, and then he started behaving badly. And so I was just curious if that's how this got there.
Well, you do have to keep your eye out for, I don't know. Did you see him, Dave? Did you see the Biebs? Justin Bieber.
Oh, no. Who was it?
He's confused a second.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber.
He was Selena, and he used to be an item.
I had no idea.
And then he's gone off the rails.
Dave doesn't even know who Justin Bieber is.
Usher, I know who PLD is.
You know what? If I was Usher, I'd be a little disappointed. But I will tell you that Usher did do a good job with Justin.
Well, Gary Busey was in this.
He was in this. Yeah, yeah.
Mary Louise Parker.
She's got
Jason
two roles.
Lee.
I like her.
I thought it was a pretty good cast.
And we talk about Wes Craven's birthday. Mary Louise Parker also has a birthday today. She turns 50.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
She looks good for her
age.
Awesome.
She does.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And again, you know, she does play two roles. One is a mother, and the other one is kind of a sex pot.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
And then you've also got Elizabeth Shue in the movie, who is definitely a sex pot in the movie. She she's very hungry.
Hungry for what?
I don't know. Dylan McDermott.
All you can eat shrimp.
Heather.
Depends how big you are.
Crab leg.
Oops.
Heather, who? What was it? What was
Graham.
It? Graham, yes.
See, oh, she's
they
beautiful.
Said that. I was like, all I could think
that
was Heather Crab leg.
Graham, not the Heather.
You know, you're talking about some very beautiful women.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I think, I mean, even though they're older, I think they kind of put Selena Gomez to shame.
They
and
do.
They're talented. They're beautiful and talented.
Yeah,
and
I would agree.
Yeah, they do really good jobs in this movie. And, you know, so save for Selena Gomez and that just performance that is just as bad as Getaway was a movie, it's actually not all that bad. At least when it comes to entertainment value, you know, yeah, this is a raunchy comedy, wouldn't you agree?
So. Yeah, and I thought it was very, very funny, though.
Yeah, it packs
witty.
More it packs more depraved debauchery into this movie than it probably should have. I would say that the climax the climax of the movie starts to feel at least a little bit excessive. You know, kind of like after the party or around the party.
Isn't that an oxymoron? Excessive climax.
Yes.
I don't get it.
Glass ceiling with so many but I will say with so many recognizable stars acting in out such sinful situations you cannot help but have fun. And that, you know, kind of like what you were saying about Sharknado earlier, you know, granted you got big stars in this and more A-listers like that, but and it is being released theatrically. But it's there's a lot of critics out there who are just looking at this movie and saying it's absolute garbage. But I had a lot of fun watching it. So how could something be bad if it is so much fun?
Well, that's the thing, is that that's where the entertainment value also comes in, like with Sharknado 2. It's obviously made purposely to be bad. This one maybe wasn't, though. I didn't see it. I will say, though, with Selena Gomez, it's interesting because when she was on her Disney Channel doing her show, she's a good up-and-coming actress, and who knows what really happened. I think we all do know, but, you know, not to talk about it. I will say, though, I don't know if we said his name, but one of my favorite actors out there, he's probably one of the top three voice actors, Patrick Warburton, who, of course,
he's
is Joe Swanson and Family Guy, and he's in everything
the
with Seth MacFarlane. He's absolutely amazing. Just his voice is just, I mean, you know his voice from anywhere, and it just, the sigh for him, it's great.
Yeah, there are a lot of different actors in this movie, and Gary Busey definitely has one of the funnier roles in the film. And make sure that you stick around for the end credits, because there are some neat bloopers. I don't know if you'd call them bloopers, but just alternative line. Well, yeah, some of them are
gag
bloopers.
Reel.
Yeah, there's a gag reel, but the entire gag reel is Gary Busey. So, trying to recite one single line.
Yeah, he must be difficult to work with.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think there was a movie called Gingerbread Man that he was the gingerbread man.
Hmm.
I don't know that one.
You know, I'm curious. I wonder how much of the negativity towards this is because Selena Gomez still kind of is a tweeny kind of an icon. People, the tween kids are interested in, and it sounds to me like the level of this is probably not something you would want your tween to be watching.
No, definitely not. It's definitely a very raunchy movie, and as Dave said, that there is there's a lot of sex and drugs and, you know, alcohol, and it is
but
behaving
badly.
But
not explicit,
though. No, it's not explicit.
No.
It's not, there's some nudity, but not, you know. not a lot.
Not enough, in other words, when it comes to Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah, she is gorgeous.
Does she get naked?
She is gorgeous.
No. That's why I almost
walked out.
You're
going to have to Mr. Skin that there. I'll say, in addition to that, because Selena Gomez is such a horrible actress right now, I think it's just like, wow, why couldn't a younger or a different up-and-coming talented actress, take a role like this? Obviously she has that star appeal, but...
She doesn't get naked, does she?
No.
I hope not, no.
No, but, no. Not today.
Yeah, there's just a lot wrong.
Well, that would improve her acting ability.
Probably.
It actually would, but no.
There are some actresses
I don't think anything
that
would.
Well, no, it would the first time, and then the next time you just kind of like it's no longer interesting.
Did you just take that quote from Justin Bieber?
Did I?
Yeah, once you've had it, it's like no longer interesting.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't take that. I don't know. I don't listen.
That's
to
what
Justin
he quoted.
But
it seems to be his lifestyle anyway.
Yeah, that's yeah.
So again, thumbs up for. Behaving badly, Dave. Would you say the same thing?
Yeah, I give it a thumbs up.
Okay,
just for its humor and I thought it was witty though. It wasn't just funny.
Yeah, it is clever.
There's some really clever lines in there that I think people will enjoy. And
I did laugh a few times. Not like laugh out loud hysterical throughout the whole movie, but there are a few lines that are very clever.
Very clever.
So kudos to the entire cast and the filmmaker here. So thumbs up.
The rest of the cast made up for Selena.
Yes, definitely. Mm. And and she is not that terrible. I mean, at least she's not Taylor Swift. have fun with Behaving Badly. Or if you want something with a little more perhaps depth, then you can check out Louder Than Words. Is it any good, though? I know you were interested in this movie.
Yes, I thought the trailer, I saw only the trailer, but I thought it looked very provoking.
Okay. Well, David Duchovny and Hope Davis play a couple that, after the unexpected death of their daughter, works to build a state-of-the-art children's hospital where families are welcomed into the healing process.
And this is based on a true story.
It is. It is based on the true story of the little girl that the hospital is.
And me being a pediatric nurse, this just really hit home, I thought, from just that. I think that might be why I was drawn to this, but go
probably
for it.
Yeah. Well, Dave, what did you think?
Yeah, I saw
the
trailer, and what I took out of the trailer was a quote. Someone was going to build a building... or a hospital, I guess it was. It was, and the quote was, "It's about building a feeling." Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that's sort of the central theme. And only seeing the trailer, I'm not sure, but that struck me as, hey, this might be have potential.
Yeah, well, it's a very divided motion picture. I'll say that the first half essentially chronicles how a family deals with the unexpected death of their youngest and most peacemaking member. This little girl, she says in the beginning of the movie that I am the glue that holds my family together. And they're showing that, and we all have these family members or these friends who they are the glue of the relationship. They are why everyone is able to still hang out with one another or tolerate one another. And that's what this little girl was. And then she's lost. And so this family is, just in pieces, and
that
they're fighting. And absolutely. And the first half is about that. It's tremendously touching. It takes moviegoers on a roller coaster of emotions. But then you get to the second half, and it morphs into a much more conventional, not to mention stiff story about that family's efforts to honor their loved one's memory. Like the family member's efforts, it is good intentioned, but the execution is way more wooden than the first half of the film, and therefore less affecting than the first half of the film. When you see a movie like this, you want to cry at the end, and I did not cry at the end, but.
Or if you cry in the middle, you want to be able to laugh at the end.
Right,
something
like that.
Or rejoice at the end,
but it's
or
just,
have something.
It's so by the numbers and wooden for the second half of the movie. But I will say that the emotional resonance remains. Nonetheless, I'm still giving it a thumbs up. It's not a tremendous thumbs up, but it is a decent thumbs up still, because it is the first half is really good, and I see what they were trying to do with the second half. And you want to tell the true story of how this hospital was built and the struggles that it took this family to build this hospital. But I like the more personal issues that the family was undergoing after the loss, rather than, just, okay, we've got to get this built. And, nobody else wants to get it built, and nobody wants to give us the money because there's no money in, sick kids. And, especially with families who don't have a lot of money, and, hey, it's just kids, it's not rich people. So I get that, but I just wish that it would have been, they could have mixed it throughout, and it just feels very divided. But it is still a thumbs up. So if you're into something with some emotional resonance, check out Louder Than Words. So, you know, again, if you want to have some fun this weekend, check out Behaving Badly, or as Greg would attest, Sharknado 2.
Oh, absolutely.
And then if you want, you know, to brave the crowds, definitely go check out Guardians of the Galaxy, of course. But you will probably have to buy your ticket early. And then if you want, if it's date night, check out Mood Indigo. Or if you want something, you know, perhaps that you might cry in. I did not personally, but you might check out Louder Than Words.
Is it like Terms of Endearment?
No. It's like I wish that it was something, you know, that made me cry. Because, you know, a good cry is good every once in a while.
It's true.
You know?
I would agree. Isn't
that
those
emotions
healthy
something
from
that you
a physical
buy,
standpoint?
That you buy into emotionally, yes. Yes, yeah. Expressing emotion is very important to all of us.
Yeah, like that Lullaby movie that I talked about last week with Garrett Hedlund. That was a really good, you know, movie that you might cry in, you know, more so
What's
than
the
this.
Best crying movie, do you think?
For me, it
How
was...
How about Brian's Song? Wasn't that a good one?
Yes, they yeah. weren't born yet.
No.
Oh. Yeah, that's 70s,
that,
dude.
Yeah.
That was
For
good.
Me, it was My Dog Skip. Because I love animals.
I don't remember
with Frankie
that
Muniz from right here and there.
What's
Arizona.
Another good crying movie? We should have a show on that.
We are going to do a cry movie.
Is it
going to
be Cry Me a River? Is that going to be the name? No, I'm just
no,
teasing.
No, Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, right? No, maybe not. The concept.
Yeah, the concept, sure. Well, that's
yes,
romantic.
Yes, it's romantic and
There's
tragic.
There's got to be crying movies.
Did you
There's
cry in
many.
Titanic?
There's many.
Oh, what?
Titanic?
No.
No?
Did I cry at Titanic? That, you know, that was... That
I
was sort of sad. That,
it's not
actually.
That kind of movie.
But it did take My you on a little bad. Bit of an emotional roller coaster because it had the action, the adventure, it had the humor, and it had the romance as well.
But I perfected the end of this. Listen to this. Come back. Come back. Remember as Jack was floating down
Rose.
In the sea? That was sort of sad.
Yeah.
That was a great movie, though. I really liked that movie.
Yeah, A Walk to Remember is definitely a very
oh,
sad
yes,
movie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
that was.
Anything with
was
someone
excellent.
Who's dying, you know? Or someone who's
yeah,
sick.
Yeah, what's some? Let's see. I will have to get a list of that. That's a really good.
We're
point.
Going to do it.
Yeah, I like it.
Cry
we'll
movie
call
show.
It tearjerkers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, tearjerkers.
Yeah. So you know, if you're into that thing, you might be interested.
Old Yeller.
Harder than words.
Oh,
that's
yes.
A yes.
Old Yeller.
Imitation
yeah.
of Life. I can go on and on. Umbrellas yeah. of Cherbourg.
Homeward Bound.
Love Story.
Yes. Oh
the
my
champ.
Goodness. Yes.
I got
Ordinary
one.
People. Yes.
I got one that I cried.
E.T.
Rocky IV.
I just watched one, the one that I gave a breakthrough to that is coming out in September sometime. I cried at the end of that. So
wow.
Yeah. So I'm not gonna again. I'm not gonna spoil it.
Sophie's Choice.
You know this.
Oh,
this is
Boyhood.
This is
brutal.
Amazing.
Oh my
this
God,
is amazing to
movie.
Me.
Yeah. I know what it's about,
it's
and I haven't
awesome
seen it.
That
I want to see
have
it.
This yeah. advance. You're able to see these movies so far in advance because people are recognizing what a great critic you are
yeah.
and the abilities
you.
That you have. Very, very impressive.
That well, is
I'm
impressive.
Excited. I don't want to wait till September.
Some studios,
August.
Some studios will not, you know, respect that there are some critics who will hold their review. And again, you heard here that in September there is a movie mm-hmm. that is going to open that is just spectacular, but I'm not telling you what it is. And
I know. Even tried to put the bamboo shoots underneath your fingernails
yeah.
during the break and you wouldn't tell
well,
me.
Well, I actually
I
put
thought
the bamboo
could,
shoots and he still did not.
I thought he could whisper to me.
Eric was waterboarding
me.
Me.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he's tough. One tough cookie.
You're un-American.
Right. We're all un-American,
now,
apparently.
Now, wait a minute. I thought waterboarding was supposed to be American. I don't know.
Eric, what about, what's this thing about suing the president? I think we should sue Congress. Is that what,
well,
am I right?
It's a colossal waste of time is what it is. And time and money.
Oh. Incredible. Incredible.
And by the time the lawsuit even comes to fruition, one way or another, the whole thing will be moot.
I don't know what the damages are.
I don't either.
Well,
that's a show in itself. We got to do that someday. That was weird.
Well, we got a really great guest after the break. Her name is Kathy Griffin.
Yes!
But, no. Ooh, Child is going to be the next song.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, why?
From, I love this song.
By Five Stair Steps. This is probably the best use of a song in Guardians of the Galaxy when Peter Quill basically saves everyone. I'm not going to tell you how, but he uses a song.
And who sings this one?
Five Stair Steps.
Never heard of these people, but I've heard of the song. Great song. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX Studios in Phoenix, Arizona. Stay tuned. Coming up, Kathy Griffin. And we're going to have more fun coming up all the way to 12 o'clock. We'll be right back.
It's always great to have a friend in business. That's why we encourage you to reach out to Brandon Ross at Burt Carpenter Financial, a full-service residential lender. Call now for exceptional service and an accurate pre-qualification. Connect with him online at BrandonRossHomeLoans.com or by phone at 602-953-7826, 602-953-7826. Brandon Ross, NMLS number 858655, and Burt Carpenter Financial, NMLS number 142159.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Okay, here's the thing. Get out of my way, you A-list boys. Boring. My Prada shoes are as good as yours. Yeah. I work twice as hard to get half as far as you.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Thinking, I should say Breakthrough Entertainment, live 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Herdl, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert, and Tricia. You're laughing. You're smiling.
I'm smiling. I'm so excited for this segment. I love it.
And Kathy Griffin expected to join us any minute now. We saw her show, of course, in Las Vegas, Mirage. She's going to perform August 9th, next Saturday, at the Mirage. If you haven't seen her, get out there. Las Vegas, not that far from Phoenix.
Aces of comedy.
That's right. And tremendous. So that's going to be fun. Have you guys ever seen Kathy Griffin?
Not live, just, you know, just her acting career, of course. You know, my life on the D-list. And
oh, you did see that?
Well, I haven't seen that, but I've seen clips from it. And, you know, Suddenly Susan.
And you know what, I just love her interaction with Anderson Cooper. It's so funny, they seem so opposite, right? Did you see that New
no,
Year's
I
Eve?
No, I didn't. No. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's hysterical. There's no doubt about it. Very, very funny. So, and you wrote, Trisha, a great review.
Oh, well, thank you.
On breakradioshow.com. Go to articles, and you'll see your great review on what a great,
well,
great,
she,
great.
She's hilarious. Oh, she's. I'm sorry. There's just no other word to describe her.
Oh, yeah.
She's incredible.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. High energy, funny, witty, and current. I mean that takes a lot of time, right? To I would suspect to make sure that you stay current on all these things going on.
Oh yeah, well I think she's obviously she's a little ADD, which I love about her, and she's got an. I'm sure she surrounds herself with incredible people and writers that keep on top of all the pop culture and everything, but totally contemporary, in the moment, up to date, everything with regards to pop culture that you can think of.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what makes it... Actually, that's what makes it so funny, though. And joining us now, two-time Emmy winner, New York Times best-selling author, and one of the funniest high-energy female comedians of all time, Kathy Griffin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, David, and I'm glad jumping in just after the sentence, and that's what makes it so funny.
Oh, yes. There's no doubt. But, you know, Trisha and I saw you in Las Vegas late May, Aces of Comedy at the Mirage, and you were just phenomenal, high energy, so funny. We wrote Trisha wrote a great review on our website about that, and I also enjoy you so much.
I very much appreciate it. Thank you very much, Trisha.
Oh, hey, it was so easy to write because you are phenomenally funny.
Well, look, let's face it. I mean, these politicians and pop culture figures and, oh, I don't know, my mother, they give me endless material, endless.
Oh, Kathleen Mary.
Kathleen Mary. All I want is a nice box of wine. Don't make any fuss about me. Yes. In fact, next Saturday, August 9th, when I do my show at the Mirage, I am going to tape it. I'm going to make a CD out of it that will be available sometime before August 27th, called Kathy Griffin Live from Las Vegas. And I'm doing it just in that time period because I am shamelessly trying to get nominated for another Grammy for Best Comedy Album, which I won last year.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, your nominations are the length of my arm.
Yes. You know, the deal is that if I don't get nominated for awards, they won't let me in the award show.
You might be banned again, huh?
Yeah, because they know I'm there to lovingly observe. And if I happen to see anybody, you know, vomiting in the bathroom or behaving badly in any way, then, of course, I'm going to have to run to Vegas, hit the stage, hit the mic, and tell you guys all about it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Kathy, that was something I loved about your show. And looking at other people's comments and reviews as well, it was amazing how you are so contemporary. You are so local as well, which... Doing a DVD of the Vegas show is going to be perfect because everybody knows Vegas.
Oh, yeah. But- and Vegas, you know, Vegas is a coat of many colors. So I have been playing Vegas for many years. And, you know, I love talking about, you know, pre-Cirque. It's hard to imagine a world prior to Sully, Canadian songbird. But they tell me that Vegas did exist before Celine. I find it hard to believe, but I was there, so I guess it was real. Now, I always say also Vegas is the greatest people watching in the world. And so after my show, it's going to start to become what I like to call the bewitching hour. So go to my show, enjoy the show, laugh nice and loud because you're all being recorded. And then, you know, maybe get a 5-gallon plastic drink with like a hose as a straw and just stroll leisurely up and down the street when it's 107 degrees and do some people watching. It's totally safe.
Especially when you see those guys from the Ultimate Fighting Championships walking with their big, huge bongs hanging down and pushing their baby carriages, right?
Yeah, of course. Well, I always enjoy a nice strip stroll in Vegas with family time. And by family time, I mean about 2:42 a.m. because you can tell it was someone's idea to bring the whole family to Vegas. And then someone lied to someone else in their family and said, oh, don't worry, you can go hit the tables and I'll watch the kids. And next thing you know, there's just entire families with strollers walking up and down the strip in Vegas.
So totally true. Now, I do have to ask you this, because we were talking about your life on the D list.
Yeah.
And my husband says, well, wait a minute. Is that referring to her bra, or is that returning here? Or is that referring to the ABCs of the list of stars?
It's my cup size. I
okay.
love that.
All right. Well, you know, Joseph, when he was first introducing the D list, he kind of went the D list. And I thought, well, maybe that was more of that.
I've got a stutter.
That's why you said double D.
Cup got bigger every time you said it. I love it. Well, I'm obsessed by this notion of Hollywood and pop culture, of people sort of being on lists. And, you know, it's a very Hollywood thing to do with agents and publicists, et cetera. And they have these great expressions like, you know, well, so-and-so just isn't there yet. Or so-and-so is going through an ebb, not a flow, and all this ridiculousness. And many years ago, the first time I heard the expression, you know, we've all heard A-list, and then I heard the expression about the D-list. And what happened was, I was actually watching the Golden Globes one year, and I noticed the way people are seated in the Golden Globes, it's pretty much laid out for you. So closest to the stage, because remember, Golden Globes are film and television.
Yes.
So closest to the stage are big movie stars, but not TV stars. So normally a big TV star would be right up front, but nope, with the Globes, even the TV stars are a little bit on the B-list. Then as you get to the back of the room of the Golden Globes, you get people that maybe have smaller roles, albeit stars, but smaller roles in films and television. And then that night I was watching the Golden Globes, and I thought, if I was that room, I'd be in the parking lot. So that's how I came up with the name The D-List. And, you know, it's a joke, but you'd be shocked at how many people in Hollywood take that stuff seriously.
Oh, and that's what makes it hilarious, too. I mean, some of the stuff that you're talking about with these reality shows, the Kardashians, and just everything.
Let me tell you something. The Kardashians has actually gotten a little real this year for the first time. And that is what I find fascinating about it, because, you know, one of them is just missing. Like, there should just be an Amber Alert for that poor Rob. We don't really know what he's up to. I get uncomfortable when I hear that someone misses Lamar.
Aww.
That can't be a good sign. Like, well, he misses Lamar.
He's going through separation anxiety.
Yeah, I miss Lamar a little. I don't miss Lamar, you know, that much that I can't leave my home. And then, of course, I'm watching Bruce Jenner do exactly whatever it is Bruce is doing.
He's turning into a woman.
It certainly looks like that to me. I mean, he used to be on my Wheaties box, and I don't even recognize him anymore.
That's right. I don't know exactly what's going on with Bruce. And by the way, I am very open about having had the face work myself. So I know some stitches and a scar when I see one. So, you know, no judgment here. But the thing that's amusing to me is that after all these years of bashing the Kardashians, this may be the one season that it actually has some accidental reality, because I think even those nut jobs don't even know what to do with Bruce anymore.
That is so true. And I love the way you called it accidental reality.
Haven't decided yet what he wants to be, let's just say, be doing the rest of his life.
Are they D-listers?
Well, you know, that's such a funny one, because they're household names. So that would typically sort of make you an A-lister. But, you know, they don't have a skill set. So I guess that would put them on the D-list. But I have a skill set, but I'm not a household name. So I would definitely not
sure
like
you are.
Category, because that's no fun. I, like, stand on stage and tell jokes for 2 hours, and they just kind of do selfies and, you know, walk around saying things like, I literally am getting my nails done again because I literally did not like that salmon color nail polish, and I literally wanted more pink. You know, that's kind of what they do, is they get their nails done and shop and wear a lot of animal print clothing. Other than that, you know, there's a lot of these shows where we watch these folks and you just go, but how do you pay the rent, though? I just have that one. I know it's a reality show and I'm let into your life, except on my life on the D-list, you knew, like, well, I had to get my butt off the chair and go do stand-up, and that's my job. So I'm gonna give them a D, but, you know, they can buy and sell all of us here.
Well, that's true.
How sad.
But, you know, I kind of look at the D-list as like being in the back of the bus. That's where all the party people are.
Yes, and that's where you can observe quietly. And remember, it's always very important to judge others unfairly. It's a very good way to pass the time. I'll have some Irish Catholic guilt about it later, but at the time, I can't stop myself. And, I mean, look, that's what my show at the Mirage is going to be all about, truly blowing off steam. It's going to be in Vegas, I mean, which exemplifies everything about where you go, that you should say something you're not going to say and do something you're not supposed to do. And so that's what my live shows are. I mean, look, I love doing my television specials. I have done more television specials than any comedian, living or dead. I am in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most televised stand-up specials. But the live experience is something else. I mean, it is truly no holds barred, uncensored. And next Saturday in Vegas, the reason I'm taping it, the way I'm taping it is I've put out two other CDs, and this one is going to have no breaks at all. So it is going to go up on iTunes and everything else sells online, but it's not going to be broken up into bits. It's not going to have bleeps. Whatever happens, happens, and it'll be available for some bargain basement price. You know these kids today with their online sales.
Oh, I love it. I love it, and I can hardly wait for it. It's going to be phenomenal because your show is just – I think it was the best find we had in Vegas, let me tell you. It was the best time we've – it went so fast. But I do have to tell you, I was a little disappointed. You kept saying, now remind me to tell you about this, and then you didn't get to it.
Well, look, sometimes I get so excited by, you know, the latest politician that's made a horrible flub, or maybe the latest celebrity that is angry at me personally for a joke I've made, or, you know, if I've gone to some kind of Hollywood event and I want to tell you exactly what someone said in the bathroom, sometimes there's just so much that even I can't remember it. So I do try to change my material every single show. You know, I did a limited run on Broadway, and I was at the Belasco Theater where they're doing Hedwig right now with Neil Patrick Harris. Mm-hmm. And I shamelessly named my Broadway show Kathy Griffin Wants a Tony. And number one, I didn't get one.
Oh.
Number two, I made every single show different. So I will say sometimes when there is a particularly exciting time like now when, you know, it's an election year as well as, you know, everybody doing their movie interviews and this person's breaking up and this person started dating this person. I admit I don't always get to talking smack about everyone. I mean, I almost always get to my mother. Let me just say, my 94-year-old alcoholic mother is an American treasure.
Yes, she is.
She is beloved and she is a darling. And she, of course, will not be accompanying me to Vegas because she is afraid she's going to get the runs.
You know, Kathy, you got so much, like you said, great material going on. But especially just the other day with John Boehner suing the president. I can't wait to hear what you're going to say about that.
Well, you know, first of all, the whole, I mean, once again, where do I begin? So we've got this. By the way, you know what? There may be several members of Congress at the show since they're all on vacation.
Yeah, that's right.
They're always on vacation.
I know the Tea Partiers. Do you think they go to tea parties? Like, if that's their party, I wonder, like, how much do they take it to the mat so that during their recess, they don't have town halls anymore, they actually have tea parties? Because I would like to see that. I would like to see Michelle Bachmann and her, let's just go with husband Marcus, simply having a ladies' tea party during the recess. And, you know, I mean, suing the president is, I'm going to have to actually work to make it funny because it does sound funny, but it really is kind of not what we want you folks to be doing at this time. Well, there are a few other things that are slightly more important, but yeah, I mean, I think we're living through something. Well, I'm a big old lefty, so I'll just confess that right here now. So there go half my ticket sales.
But that's okay because you're on a progressive station.
I know. That's otherwise, I could be just like tased in the streets for actually just being a lefty, but you know, I mean, I am just amazed at how this president has been targeted, in my opinion, because he's African-American. But over and over and over, and things that are happening are so real and they're so serious. So when I lovingly miss the days of a mere Monica Lewinsky mishap, and that's what we all got excited about, and we all got our panties in a bunch, and we thought the world was crumbling. Now, you know, we've got an actual Congress that's denying climate change. They're trying to sue the president. They're going to try to impeach the president. You know, so, and as a woman and a feminist, the clock has just gone way backwards, way back. So I'm actually hoping that by my show next Saturday in Vegas, I still have the right to vote. I'm hoping maybe one more week with the right to vote. Although if this interview gets in the hand of like the Breitbart people, I'm sure that women could actually lose their right to vote by next Saturday.
And it'll be your fault. Hey, yeah. I have a question for you. You mentioned that you piss celebrities off a lot. Is there anybody currently mad at you now?
There's always like the usual suspects, like Oprah, you know, wants nothing to do with me. I've tried to get Gwyneth Paltrow back a couple of times when I've seen her. She's not really having it. I've kind of made up with my frenemy, Ryan Seacrest. She and I are getting along pretty well.
Not now.
They're very whimsical, these A-list celebrities. They're very whimsical.
And I read somewhere that you've been banned from interview shows.
Oh, yes. I'm banned from Ellen. I'm banned from Kelly and Michael. I don't know why I still want to call it Regis and Kathy Lee, but
you're not alone.
But yeah, I do kind of take pride in being banned from certain shows. Although I got back on the David Letterman show. I'm doing the David Letterman show August 20th. And that one took me years to get back on because I was banned for many, many years. And I'm a fan of his. And now I'm very excited because I'm actually going to do it twice before David leaves. So, you know, as they say in Hollywood, it's the ebb and flow. But I, you know, being the cockroach that I am, I'm just, my philosophy is to just wait them all out. Wait them all out. So if some of the younger starlets, like Demi Lovato, they're upset with me about a joke I made, and then their fans, which are called Lovatics, they flood my Twitter with hate and death threats, I just kind of wait it out. And then the Justin Beliebers get mad at me because I've made a Justin Bieber joke, and the Beliebers come after me. And you know, that's just sort of the new price you pay when you're a comedian. It's getting rough out there, kids.
Well, I have got to tell you, you have got to be the hardest working woman in the world.
Oh, you're a doll. Well, but I love it. I mean, I don't know what to do with myself if I'm not doing stand-up, so I cannot wait to hit the mic. I so look forward to every single show, whether it's, you know, the Kennedy Center or, you know, some small performing arts center in Rhode Island. I don't care. I will go wherever people want to laugh.
Well, I will tell you, there is no shortage of laughing, and it is so fresh and so new. I can only imagine every time. I would just want to be, if you did a run of 7 shows, I'd want to be in every one of them. You are phenomenal.
That's what's funny is I honestly don't know exactly what I'm going to say next Saturday at the Mirage. I mean, I will be writing. When I say writing, you know, like sort of putting my thoughts together, improvising. I don't like write. It's really improvisational. But I'll be writing my act up until, you know, 1 minute till 8.
And see, and that comes across because this is truly your love. And it is so unscripted.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. That is a talent that is whatever you want to call it that I have never seen in anyone else. Everybody else, you can kind of tell they've got a theme. They've got the punchline here or yours. It's just like sitting down across the table from my girlfriend and having a convo.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to say, but all those nice things you said before that, can you tell my mom that? Because she still wants me to be a dental hygienist. She thinks there's time for me to get what she calls a real job.
A real job.
With real benefits, damn it.
Yes. Well, you know, which does she like the red or the white in the box?
She likes both. She's not high and mighty.
Okay.
But every so often she will have two buck chuck in a glass bottle.
Wow. Okay.
I heard it's gone up to 3.
You know, Kathy, one of my favorite things watching you and Anderson Cooper New Year's Eve, it's just hysterical. What is it like working with Anderson Cooper?
You know, it is such a joy for him. you know, I mean, he's got his little job where he just wakes up and models and then does a little news and then models some more and then does a little news and looks in the mirror at himself for a couple of hours. And then once a year, he's got to actually show up to work. So, you know, I am so happy that I have been able to really put him on the map, frankly, take him out of obscurity. And no, I love torturing him. I mean, I'm sorry, working with him. And, you know, I have goals in life. I think it's important as Americans that we have goals. And I am sorry to say there's one I haven't achieved. And I, after 7 years of doing New Year's Eve live on CNN with Anderson Cooper, and last year we did 3.5 hours live, I still haven't gotten him fired. I have to live with that every day of my life.
Now, are you going to do it this year, too?
I think I'm going to do it. We're still in what they call negotiations. Which I think what that means is Anderson gets a ton of money, And then I think the negotiation would be like, this year, do I get maybe, you know, like a turkey sandwich on rye? I'm not sure the high level negotiations that go on in Team Griffin, but I love doing it. It's like one of my favorite things. And, you know, it really is all about keeping him off his game. And the thing that I'm most proud of is that when I started CNN, of course, like being CNN and not, you know, like a comedy club, would call me and they'd say, like, they would want to break down the evening, like, minute by minute. And, you know, we're talking a three-hour broadcast. And I just kept, I would either just lie and say, oh, we're just going to talk about, I don't know, puppies. And the next year they tried to get, well, generally, what do you think you're going to talk about? And then finally last year they called, and I've beaten them down so much, they actually said, can you just not say the C word?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it's hysterical. And I mean, it's just
the bar very low over there for them.
I just love it. I mean, really, I think it's the hit of New Year's Eve, no question about it. You and Anderson Cooper, very, very funny.
Well, and you have changed his life because after all, he's dreaming about you now.
Yeah, he has dreams about me. And you know, I'm excited because I think last year we got our highest ratings ever. And I think we actually have accidentally become a true alternative. I mean, obviously, we're never going to get the high ratings of like the really big shows. But we really are definitely a different approach to New Year's than Ryan Seacrest with their gigantic budget and their bells and whistles and their musical performances. Anderson Cooper and I really just stand there on a riser, you know, next to Univision and just freeze and multi-layer and try to keep the party going. And trust me, he does not know what I'm going to say. And by the way, confession, neither do I.
But that's what's so fun about it. That's like the best New Year's Eve party ever.
Well, you know, but it's his nightmare because he's very like regimented and he can be very serious, obviously. And he always says that he sweats more with me on New Year's than if he's on assignment in Jalalabad.
You know, it seems like he's a really good sport, though. Is that how you describe him?
He's the best. I love him. We're friends. I actually just sent him a sext a couple of days ago. He's the only man, I don't even sext my boyfriend. He's the only man in my life that I sext. And I was actually hanging out with former NSYNCer, good friend of mine, Lance Bass. And we actually sent Anderson a photo of the two of us. It's like the old Coppertone ad where the girl brings down her bathing suit, a little bit of her butt.
Uh-huh.
So we sent that to Anderson, and there hasn't been a response. And I know that what happens is Anderson will look at a photo like that, immediately get nervous, especially if he's at work, and then usually he kind of takes a few days, probably of some sedatives, and then he'll, like, write LOL 5 days later. I know his process really well by now.
That's hysterical.
Oh, you are hilarious.
And I love him because he's come to see me live multiple times, and he is the rare A-lister that actually has a sense of humor. And, you know, a lot of these folks that I make fun of, I really do love, and I'm fans of as well. And I got the greatest compliment when the last time I went to see Celine Dion at Caesars, and I went backstage, and I've met her a couple of times, but, you know, I'm always nervous around her because I'm pretty rough on her and her husband, and she's, like, the perfect person to make fun of because she's so squeaky clean. And so we met backstage, and afterwards, I couldn't believe she said this. We took a picture, and she said, I want you to keep talking about me in your act because it lets me know I am still hot.
Yes.
I was like, oh, my God, mission accomplished. Consider it done. I'll talk about you forever. Yes. By the way, not that I was going to, like, ask her permission. I'm just saying it was nice that she said it.
Well, and see, when you were saying about how the A-listers hate you, I'm sitting here thinking, that means you're relevant. Hello?
It's, you know, that's why, like, I'm actually friendly with Don Rickles and Joan Rivers because they are two mentors and idols of mine because they have been through the fire and they've been through the ups and downs. And when I see the way that the celebrities act around them, it's actually very inspirational to me because, first of all, they're at that age. Both of them are at such a cool age where they really can say anything. I mean, they're both just at that, look, I've been through everything. I'm going to say anything I want, appropriate or inappropriate. And so I think that's what comedy should be. I mean, I don't think you should go to see a live comedy show, pay your hard-earned money, and then see someone being afraid or safe. So I promise to offend Almost everyone. I mean, I'm really going to do my best to offend every person in that chair. And I think that's what comedy should be about, especially in Vegas. That's really where you go to hear the most inappropriate things and do the most shameful things. And comedy should be about blowing off steam. I mean, we got enough to worry about. We should at least take a couple-hour break where we can laugh at ourselves and everybody else.
And it's such a good time. And we want to remind everyone, next Saturday at the Mirage Hotel Las Vegas, August 9th, you'll be performing. Everyone get out there. You will not regret it. It is hysterical. Kathy Griffin, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you, guys. I really, really appreciate it, and I will talk to you soon.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And if you can't see her live, remember, they're taping for the DVD.
That's right.
Yep.
Thank you so much once again.
Thanks.
That's Kathy Griffin. Hysterical. She is so funny. High energy. I was going to mention Don Rickles, by the way, because I remember him. But he was different. He had really almost the same show every time.
Right. Well, many comedians do. And that is what's really hard is when they recycle their jokes or they just kind of tweak the show a little bit for a different city. She changes it. And it's because she loves this. It's just Kathy up there being an equal opportunity offender to everybody. And it's hilarious. It is the best show to just laugh. You know, what do they call it? RFLAMAO or whatever. Oh, yes. Ruffle mouth.
Rolling on the floor
laughing. Yes.
But get out there next Saturday.
Yes.
Next Saturday, August 9th, Mirage. Go see her. Aces of Comedy, a Mirage Hotel. Really good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, phenomenal.
Get your tickets soon because I'll tell you,
I think it was sold out when
incredible.
We went. Yeah.
Are we taking a break?
No.
No?
No break.
No break.
No, but I would like to play, you know, one of the songs, of course, because...
Susan?
No, not Suddenly Susan. We'll skip that one, but I do want to play another song from, you know, just while we're talking for a second about Guardians of the Galaxy. Number 17 here. Ain't No Mountain High Enough by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. Of course, this was one of the last songs in Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's a good song, too.
Yeah, it's a very good song from the 70s. So again, Guardians of the Galaxy, great soundtrack.
Another bonus for that movie, some of the great songs of the 70s, if you like 70s music.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
The soundtrack, you got to have it.
Yeah, and you know, so it's a good duet there, and so you can sing this at karaoke if you go. And,
oh, yeah, karaoke.
Yeah.
Do you do karaoke?
Yeah. Well,
excellent.
I've got a big thing for tonight.
Tell us about
my graffiti bar crawl. I you know, in case Bobby's still listening or any listeners who want to meet me, want to do something for a good cause, we're collecting school supplies out on Mill Avenue tonight. The graffiti bar crawl, we do this twice a year, me and my friends. And, you know, there's about 150 plus of us who will be out there on Mill Avenue. The first place, it starts at 3 o'clock at El Jefe. On Mill Avenue.
El Jefe.
Wow, you're starting early, 3 p.m.?
Yeah, well, there's several of us who won't be drinking. I never do, but there's several other people that I
except
know.
When there's jungle juice lying around.
Except for when there's jungle juice lying around, yes.
Hey, what's El Jefe?
El Jefe is a place, and there's specials,
El Jefe,
you know?
Jefe is like the boss.
Yeah, I won't say what the specials are.
It's right
are,
across
but
the street from Casa.
Yeah.
Casa de Grande.
And then
something like that.
And then also at 4:30, we'll be at Fat Tuesday. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll be at the Mill Avenue Q Club. I play pool there with my yellow umbrella on Halloween. I did that.
Oh,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. If you ever done that. And then at 7:30, we'll be going to the Big Bang, and we'll end the night at the School of Rock. So,
School of Rock.
Yeah,
Jack Black.
Yeah.
Will
so
he
bring,
be there?
No, he won't be there.
There really
but I
is
will.
A School of Rock in Tempe.
Yeah. Yeah, so bring some school supplies by, or you know you can donate $5, and you know it's all going to you know back to school, all kids in need who need that school supplies.
And Bobby's going to be there.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if Bobby's
going to
be there.
She
said she was going to, but we haven't heard from her today. But yeah, you wear a white T-shirt. I'll have on.
She's bathing her cats.
She's bathing her cats. Okay,
bathing
it
depends
them. Wow.
If she can bring her oxygen.
Well, she
tank,
said so. I am her mouse that she's chasing
aww.
Me. So, but
mouse.
I'm going to be.
Adorable.
Everyone wears a white T-shirt. I'm going to also have on some white shorts, and you bring a Sharpie along with you, and you write on each other little messages, and
wow,
many of
really?
Them are obscene.
You're going to let them write on your wear shorts?
Yes.
Shirt. Oh my goodness!
No, shirt.
On my shirt and my shorts. I'm wearing white shorts as well.
Yeah, he said white shorts as well. Yeah. Wow.
You know, because it's not after Labor Day.
And they write.
Ooh, Bobby, don't miss this one.
Yeah,
draw whatever you want.
From what I hear, you can't miss this one.
And talk about an expanding universe right on the shorts.
Yeah, so it should be a good time out on Mill Avenue. So, you know, come by, say hello. I'm organizing part, not organizing, I'm hosting part of it. Someone else is organizing. But, you know, just ask for me, and I'm sure that someone will direct you in the right direction.
Can they draw on your shorts? I just gave them ideas.
Yes, that's what we just said.
That's what it is.
No, you said write, not draw.
Well, Eric said draw.
You can draw things, too. Yeah.
You're late to the party again.
Oh, draw.
Yeah. Dismissed.
But next week is our dance show, all in honor of Step Up All In.
Yes.
Really?
You're excited about that one, right?
Yes.
August 9th.
Yes. August 9th. It's our dance show. We will have on, you know, a dancer, a professional dancer or a choreographer, something along that lines.
Yes, I'll be here.
You'll be here. Okay. Well, very good. I'm glad, because otherwise we wouldn't go on.
I want to fly out after the show and see Kathy Griffin.
I know.
We should think about
that. Yeah.
Oh. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we got to see if we can get tickets.
Oh.
I know people. Okay,
that's true, you do.
well, figure that out. And, of course, we want to thank all of our guests today. Tara Anais. Go check out Dark Mountain. And, of course, check out the Lowell Observatory out there in Flagstaff. Thanks so much to director Jeffrey Hall.
That's world famous. You know that?
Yeah.
Have you heard of that, from San Diego?
And Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, check out Guardians of the Galaxy in theaters now. It's going to be a big opening weekend for them, probably over $100 million. And, of course, the last song that is in the movie is going to take us out of the show in just a few moments. You remember what song that was during the end credits?
It was...
Someone was dancing.
Yes, somebody was dancing. I loved it.
Oh, dancing, yes.
Yes, remember?
I do.
Groot was dancing. I won't say exact... Well, someone was dancing.
Spoiler alert.
I Want You Back by the Jackson 5.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't
Jackson
think that
5.
One through.
And don't forget, Kathy Griffin, next Saturday, August 9th, Mirage Hotel. You better call now. She'll sell out easily if it's not even sold out now. But get over there. Of course, you got the DVD, like you said, Trisha, that they're going to make. So
I'm
watch
so
for
excited
that.
About
Probably
that.
Probably on iTunes, I think you can find
that.
Yeah,
she said
eventually.
She'll have it all there.
Wow, phenomenal show today. Joseph Erdo, thank you so much. You are the producer of the year. Can we give you the Academy Award?
Sure, thank you.
Really? Just like Jim Wilson. And stay tuned, Real Hockey Talk. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is 1480.